The SOH Network presents AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.
For the SOH News Roundup, week ending Friday, June 17th, I'm Rich Crankshaw with AsiaCast. In this bulletin, bombings stun Chinese officials. Southern China flooding hits millions. Taiwan's main parties unite behind independent broadcaster. And Special Olympic athletes make history. But first, our SOH focus on China. A string of recent bomb explosions targeting government buildings throughout China continue to stun officials. The bombings include five incidents in Fuzhou of Jiangxi province, and most recently one in the northern municipality of Tianjin. While authorities attempt to block the news and divert attention, the spotlight of public opinion persists in illuminating the incidents. The latest explosion on June 10 in front of the Tianjin municipal government resulted in two minor injuries. A person with insider information told Sound of Hope Radio a petitioner had detonated two homemade bombs. Our source, who wished to remain anonymous, said authorities responded by sending a large contingent of police for crowd control and to prevent the news from getting out. The Epoch Times website looks at the significance of the explosions in terms of protests in China. Security forces broke up protests sparked by the beating of a pregnant migrant worker by police in southern China's Zhencheng City. A curfew was also in force. Migrant workers from Sichuan province, unhappy for a long list of reasons, planned to strike for a month. According to a report from the Hong Kong-based newspaper Apple Daily, Chinese authorities mobilized 2,700 soldiers on the night of June 12th, and another 5,000 police on June 13th. From late June 12th to early June 13th, tens of thousands of Zhencheng residents took to the streets in protest and clashed with police. Zhencheng is around an hour's drive from Guangzhou, the affluent capital of Guangdong province, which produces about a third of the country's exports. Millions have been affected by flooding in southern China after almost 2 weeks of heavy rain and storms. According to official reports, as of Friday, June 17th, up to 1 million people have been forced to leave their homes. State-run media at the time stated at least 150 people were dead and another 65 were missing. A rescue worker from Wangmo County, Guizhou Province, told SOH the actual death toll was much higher than the official figure, and any missing persons had a slim chance of survival. Torrential downpours have battered previously drought-stricken sections of China. Vast areas of crops have been ruined and hundreds of homes destroyed. Early estimates suggest the damage will turn into tens of millions of U.S. dollars. SOH takes a look across the wider Asia-Pacific region. The SOH Network's media partner in the Asia-Pacific region continues to get support from both main political parties in Taiwan over the future of its broadcast. Taiwan's Chunghwa Telecom is partially government-owned, but so far, they've been ignoring the government's calls to continue NTD-AP's satellite contract on their new ST-2 satellite starting in August. Some suspect the Chinese Communist Party has been pursuing Chunghwa to stop NTD-AP's broadcast because its censored news and information reaches parts of mainland China. Following a meeting with Taiwan's premier, Chunghwa said it would renew NTD-AP's service, but only on a third-party satellite. Both NTD-AP and lawmakers say this is unacceptable because the signal would not be protected against interference from China. Commenters say the outcome of this contract dispute will indicate the state of Taiwan's press freedom and democratic ideals as it pursues closer ties with the Chinese regime. Coming up on AsiaCast, Indian journalist gunned down, Nepal clears last landmines, and Taiwan sticks with traditional Chinese characters. But first, SOH Network's Shen Yun quote of the day. Former city councilor Carol Wanamaker saw Shen Yun perform at the Northern Alberta Jubilee Auditorium in Edmonton, Canada.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
What
very beautiful.
So far. Which program? Oh, what kind of things?
Well, I think overall what impresses me about it is the, the beautiful movements. But from a visual perspective, it's incredible. I mean, the way the backgrounds And the costumes and everything, even the lines in the background go with the lines in the costume, and that is incredible. It's a visual treat, just really a treat. We've seen Chinese performers and everything before, but not this kind of a show.
Step into a world of beauty, majesty, and enchantment. Shenyun Performing Arts brings to life classical Chinese dance and music in an exhilarating and unforgettable show. The SOH Network is a proud sponsor of Shenyun Performing Arts. For tickets and information, visit www.shenyunperformingarts.org.
You are listening to AsiaCast from the SOH Network.
Back with the rest of today's AsiaCast, I'm Rich Crankshaw. An organized crime investigative journalist for India's Midday newspaper was killed Wednesday, June 15th, according to Reporters Without Borders. The journalist was shot in the back 5 times by 4 men on 2 motorcycles as he was returning to his home in the northern suburb of Mumbai. The man was considered an authority on the oil mafia situation in India and has been reporting on the topic for the past 20 years. Some think his death is linked to the oil mafia, with Reporters Without Borders suggesting police could have played a part in the murder. The latest powerful tremors to hit New Zealand's city of Christchurch caused more damage to a city already devastated by previous quakes. Aftershocks Monday, June 13th, peaked at magnitude 6.3 and left many residents frightened about their future. Authorities said parts of Christchurch will have to be abandoned due to the extent of the damage caused by the aftershocks. And New Zealand's Geological and Nuclear Sciences Institute warned the latest series of tremors could produce another string of powerful aftershocks in the weeks to come. Nepal recently became only the 2nd country in Asia to become landmine-free, the first to achieve this being China. The UN made the declaration 5 years ago after the end of the civil war between the Nepalese army and Maoist rebels. Since the conflict ended, mines killed 78 people and injured 395. Nepal's prime minister, who destroyed the last mine with a flip of a switch, said it was a historic moment. The UN, however, cautioned areas containing homemade bombs planted by both sides still remain, and efforts to clear those continue. The European Union said Friday, June 17th, it was sending a high-level team to Burma for exploratory talks with the country's new authorities. A senior EU diplomat said the talks were an initial move aimed at gauging the mindset of the new authorities. A spokesman for opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi said the Nobel Peace Laureate would meet the EU representatives. Burma's military handed over power in March to a nominally civilian government, but one in which many of the former ruling generals hold position. Despite this, there are hopes that the country is edging closer to the possibility of real democratic reforms. On a lighter note, Taiwan's leaders recently declared traditional Chinese characters will continue to be used in Taiwan instead of the simplified characters adopted by the mainland in modern times. The premier of Taiwan said traditional Chinese characters represent the beautiful legacy and significance of traditional Chinese culture, one which has been handed down for generations and can never be superseded by simplified Chinese characters. Taiwan's tourism bureau suggested local restaurants and shops popular with Chinese tourists could use both sets of characters to accommodate customers unable to read the traditional script. 2 Special Olympic athletes, one Asian and one African, made history together Monday, June 13th, when they became the first Special Olympic athletes to reach the summit of Africa's Mount Kilimanjaro. The 2 men, Salahin Sanai from Singapore and Harith Suleiman from Tanzania, were supported in their endeavor by a small team led by adventurer Michael D. They scaled the almost 6,000 meters to the top of Africa's highest peak in 5 days. Singapore hoped their achievement would be an inspiration to others. Salahin was given a hero's welcome home at Chang Yi Airport Thursday, June 16th, where the Special Olympics Singapore president said he made history both in Singapore and Asia. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.